Good morning, everybody. I think we are supposed to start to the Saturday 10. We are already 10 minutes late. I don't know, we have CGE here. And do we have a South African Law Reform Commission? Who is here? Oh, you decided to be on the left. Okay. That's fine. We have members of honorable members of parliament that will be sitting in, I suppose. There are other meetings and some of them are held up in other meetings. A lot of them are not well. They haven't even come back to parliament because of, you know, we have been having a hectic time doing election work. Now I'm going to allow the secretary to really give us the apology.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we have an apology from Honorable Ramin Tuwaza, who is unable to attend because of other commitments within the province in KZN. We have an apology from Honorable Makubela Mashele, who is unable to attend and does not say the reason. We have an apology from Honorable Bebo, who is unable to attend due to an urgent matter that has to attend in KZN. We have an apology from Honorable Minister Dipuo Peters, who has been put off sick from the 15th to the 31st of August. We have an apology from Honorable Dennis Robinson, who extends sincere apologies for being unable to attend. She has been called away on a short notice to an urgent matter in Johannesburg. We have an apology from Honorable Lindiwe Maseko, who is unable to attend because she is engaged in another meeting, which is also sitting at this time, and she is the acting chairperson for the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology. Honorable Majeke, she is unable to attend, just to attend for a funeral in the Eastern Cape. We have an apology from Honorable Nisi, who is unable to attend because she is in Mpumalanga attending the inauguration ceremony. It does not indicate who. We have an apology for Honorable MT November, who is unable to attend because she is not feeling well. We have an apology for Honorable Tandi Memela, who is unable to attend because she is not feeling well and she has been booked off by the doctor. We have an apology for Honorable Lumkalini. She is chairing the Portfolio Committee on Labour, which is also sitting as we speak. We have an apology for Honorable Commissioner Tenma. She is also chairing the PCOM Education, which is also sitting as we speak. We have an apology for Honorable Simena, also in another meeting, which is also sitting as we speak. Honorable Zwane is also chairing the another committee on education, same committee on education and recreation, which is also sitting there this week because they are dealing with the issue. We have an apology for Honorable Deputy Minister Tobokas. She is unable to attend due to the cabinet report, which is sitting as a speak. Chair, we have also another apology from Honorable Kuno. She had an appointment to attend before coming to this meeting, but she has indicated that she will be joining the meeting as we proceed. Honorable Pepe has also just sent an SMS indicating that she will be joining the meeting a bit later, because she is also in another meeting. We have an apology also from the Deputy Minister Tabete. She is unable to attend because of the cabinet report, which is also sitting as we speak. We have an apology also from Honorable Labsakhne. And Honorable Sibukwa, who also have other commitments. Chef, those are all of the apologies that I have.
Thank you, Secretary. I think we have about 20 apologies. As I've already indicated, that there are other meetings that are taking place while you are sitting here. Among the 20, we have got four of our steering committee. The secretary of the women, Menela, she's not well. I spoke to her last night. She's staying in hospital for 3 months. She is not well, but she's recuperating. Who knows, our week, she'll be coming in later, and the Honorable Becker will be coming in later. She's one of our steering committee members, and also Honorable Momo, she's not well, she's a deputy chairperson of the steering committee. I also spoke to her last night. She's also getting better day by day. Yes, those are the apologies. I don't know from the house how the apologies are accepted. Members? Members? Thank you, Madam. I don't know whether there are other concerns raised by members, because it's a very genuine concern that has been raised. We've got so many women in Parliament, and those women, the 20 that we have here, I don't know what percentage it is compared to the women that we have in Parliament. In actual fact, it's just unacceptable. I think I agree with you. You should be raising a concern. Nevertheless, I think we are going to be continuing from here. That has been noted. Thank you. Before we start with the business, I think I have to make a few comments. Welcome, Honorable Sir. You have been much absent already. Yes. As we all know that August 2016 is a commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the 1956 anti-apartheid march in Union Building. It is befitting to also pay homage and salute to the first multi-party union organization that was behind the 1956 march, that was the Federation of South African Women. The Federation of South African Women worked tirelessly to ensure unity of women across racial party lines, and this the success of anti-apartheid march. It is also very important to acknowledge and applaud another multi-party women's organization, that was the coalition. So, honorable members, during the commemoration of Women's March in 2015, the Parliament hosted roundtable discussions. The participants during the discussion emphasized that importance of ensuring implementation of resolutions made. The resolutions made during the roundtable discussion were intended to be channeled to various committees for consideration and reference to the executive for implementation. However, the local government elections meant an extended constituency period for members of parliament, and this posed challenges in implementation of those resolutions. The issue of decriminalization of sex work was among the resolutions made during the 2015 Women's Roundtable discussion. Considering the challenge of not being able to ensure implementation of resolutions, the Multi-Party Women Caucus Steering Committee decided to convene today's session about decriminalization of sex work. Honourable members and guests, sex work is regarded as an engagement in sexual activity between two consenting adults in exchange for reward, which may be monetary. Under the South African legislation, sex work is criminalised in terms of the Sexual Offences Act, Criminal Law Amendment Act. Various provisions in Criminal Procedure Act and by municipal law, by laws. Remember that the conversation about sex work is not new in South Africa. Some of the members were here earlier, and they remember very well. South Africa had conversation around the sex work and its legal status before the 2010 World Cup. COSATU also had a conversation around the legal status of sex work and working conditions of sex workers. The ANC Women's League had a conversation about sex work. The Department of Health has identified sex workers as key population groups in fight against HIV. The SADC PF is advocating for removal of punitive laws that criminalizes and stigmatizes certain population groups like sex workers. South African National AIDS Council has launched the National Sex Worker Sector Plan. The South African Law Reform Commission was tasked with investigation of adult prostitution in South Africa and come up with proposals of law reform. There are various civil society organizations within the country who are advocating for decriminalization of sex work, like sex, women legal center, etc. The city is in support of decriminalization of sex work as they are here today. The plight of sex workers has been brought before various parliamentary committees, including a petition by Embrace Dignity to the Select Committee on Petitions and Executive Undertakings. In addition to that, there are various international organizations in support of decriminalization of sex work, for example, World Health Organization, Amnesty International, UNAIDS International Labour Organization, Human Rights, and etc. and other organizations. There are also various countries that have decriminalized sex work, for example, in New Zealand, New South Wales, in Australia. In conclusion, South Africa as a country has ratified and is signatory to various international and regional instruments in support of human rights of sex workers, for example, Convention of Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, the CEDAW, which specifically highlights the need for sex workers to have equal protection against race and gender-based violence, the African Charter on Human and People's Rights and the Protocol on the Rights of Women also confirms the need for member states to protect women from all forms of violence and guarantees all individuals equality, dignity and work. But despite these conversations and legal frameworks, as a country we still do not have a current domestic legislation addressing the unique challenges faced by sex workers. We are still using pieces of legislation that we inherited from the apartheid regime, like the Sexual Offences Act. The multi-partisan focus is planning on ensuring that this debate, this time around, is taken forward, and the organization invited will assist us in ensuring that every woman in this country feels safe and protected, despite any form of work she is engaged in. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now I'm going to be requesting, because of what the multi-party women caucus has mentioned here, I am going to allow for the Commission on Gender Equality to give us its presentation on the sex work decriminalization of sex work that are concerned about, and advise us on what to do and what they have done. Over to you, Suki. Good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much for inviting the Commission for Gender Equality, the Commission on Gender, as well as reviewing the Constitution and reviewing the CEA Act.
This is something wrong with sound.
The CEA Act especially deployed two staff members and two commissioners to facilitate the decision. I'm with the Chairperson, Commissioner Lamana, on my left, and on my right, on the Select Service Content. I'm with the CEO on my left, and our financial officer. Chair, the CEO is going to make the presentation for the Commission for Gender Equality. I think it's important for us to find some principles on which the Commission for Gender Equality is taking up a position around discrimination and so on. Some of those principles that are most important, we exist to advance and promote human rights in South Africa, and we feel that utilizing human rights approach is important for us to advocate for freedom of so on. Because look at the number of issues and the criteria for extension of so has very important. Because as I'm saying, the rights of dignity, privacy, and then Uganda also had some issues, some people studied it, which we know there's some significant issues around this, and moral and so on. The commission, we must be apparent and say, we are not promoting any type of suspect, but are protecting the rights of those who are concerned who want into the country as part of their work. So, when the issues of ethics and morals, as well as the commission. And currently, we're presented by a number of friends and services. In Peru, for example, Chido, the African Charter of Rights of Women in Africa, Gender Protocol, the Charter of Protocol on Gender and Development, Resolution 25, the list is endless. And the education of those instruments and requirements as well as apply international law. And it's our condition at CG that different laws like that actually position against such a country, but we will not adhere in to what the person has decided to have. So, the other issue around discrimination and so on, and the application of our African law, no matter if it's land, speech, or gender, and it's going to change our country, this is of course. I think those are the principles on which we figure out our position, and the CEO is going to make sure that I use some of as much as the position, but search and organization are going to complain with that each one in the city. Along with the fact that there are people such as the country. And that's what we know about the Uniform Commission is really ministering, that even looking at a new position on the matter, which we have been calling on the CGE as a senior position. And we're reaching the chair of the South African Reform Commission to request the commission to provide us with a position so we can finalize our solution. But as far as the tradition is that the main position is with the minister. And with your chair, so sometimes it's always difficult for us to spend, I think maybe using your current habit, sovereignty and power to help them to reflect that position of coming around discrimination such or whether they support that or not. But maybe the commission is going to assist youth just to understand the position of coming to. So we were trying our best to ensure that the law is important. Another important element is that the General Commission should advocate continuity of law.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chan and Chan-Chun of the committee, and with my honorable members and colleagues from various institutions. As we will all be aware, the Commission for Gender Equality is set up by Section 181 of the Constitution. Now, Foundation will have a
you know, I just want to ask those people who are sitting at the back, are we audible to you? Can you hear what you are saying? I don't know whether I've been away from Parliament for quite some time. The sound seems to be, you know, not the usual one, that I know. Are you quiet? Okay, thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you. As I was saying, Section 91 of the Constitution establishes the Commission for Gender Equality. We have our mandate highlighted in Section 187 of the Constitution and further in the Treaty Act 39 of 1996, as amended, or amended in 2016 or about. And on the basis of those two legislative frameworks, the Treaty is required to promote respect for the protection and development and attainment of gender equality, and our vision therefore coming out from this specific mandate the vision in the society free from gender oppression and all kinds of inequality. And the TDE is managed to monitor and evaluate legislation, policies and practices of state, statutory bodies, private statements, as well as indigenous and customary laws and practices, and to undertake research and make recommendations to Parliament, and we also investigate complaints of gender discrimination and conduct public awareness and education programs on the ground on issues around gender equality. And we have power to also subpoena institutions to appear before us, account on various issues related to gender equality, and we also have power to mitigate. As we undertake our work as a commission, we utilize various focus areas, and I just highlighted this time around because we are dealing with the work that stems around gender-based violence. Like we have gender-based violence, we have facilities and equality, we have cultural cohesion and religion, and we have economic and empowerment and gender equality, and we have NGN as a focus area, and that one works and looks at work around all the international movements that we are finished too. And so one of our focus areas, which is what we will be more talking about today, is gender-based violence. And under gender-based violence, some of the work that we do is relating to the abuse and violation of rights of sex workers or prostitutes as our current legislative framework stands. The current legal position, as we all be aware, in South Africa has resulted in criminalization of sex work. Engaging in sex work is currently illegal, and in terms of the framework, we need to criminal prosecution of sex workers, buyers of sexual services, and any other associated stakeholders within that realm. Sex workers at this stage experience abuse and violation of numerous constitutional rights and acts of violence and abuse treatment, often with the cases that we have indications are at the hands of police officers. As I highlighted, we have, I just put the specific questions of our legislative, national legislative framework that speaks to some of these particular issues or those that are now ensuring criminalization of prostitution as highlighted. And basically, if you look at section 20, whether it's of the previous Sexual Offences Act 2007, and that read with section 11, and it will be crucial just to show, I'm not going to go through all those specific sections because they are there, but I think what is important just to draw out in terms of what are the differences in terms of section, the previous section 20, the new section 20, and section 11. The crucial difference is if you look at the two versions of section 20, is that the current version, the new version of section 20, is now only dealing with people who are over age of 18 years of age, and therefore this helps us because then the previous issue around child prostitution is now being dealt with in terms of Sexual Offences Amendment Act, which came into effect in 2007. So the idea here was just to highlight because many times when we have engagement, there always seems to be people that are confused in terms of when we are talking about decriminalization of sex work. Many people then bring the issue of child prostitution. Many people try to bring the issue of women of trafficking, and we know that there is now specific legislation prior to the amendment where those issues were sort of dealt and read into the previous section 20 of the Sexual Offences Act of 1957. Apart from differences in the formulation of section 20, And other crucial changes that the creative environment has done is the inclusion of Section 11 of the Federal Assets Act, the Amendment Act, which also now brings an element of criminalizing the purchasing of sex, which was not previously. The section criminalizes the actions of crimes of adult prostitutes by providing that person who engages the sexes of a person 18 levels or older for financial or other reward, favor or compensation for the purpose of engaging in sexual acts is guilty of an offense. So the inclusion of the new section 11 effectively addresses the issue that the city of section 28 and they you know, we previously looked upon it as very discrimination in the sense that that act prior used to just criminalize selling and not buying of sex. But now the new amendment act with the inclusion in section 11, it now goes with the buying of sex as well. However, the critical question that still remains of whether the effect of the two provisions are identical is still out there. Provisions do not create identical punitive measures for the two statutory offences. And I think the process and our case here is obviously on the basis of what we are seeing in terms of those particular acts now being capitalized, i.e. The way that a government now goes out and deals practically on the street with those two sections. In which case we see that many a time we get sex workers being taken from the streets. And by the way, many a time when that happens, it's not even on the basis of those two sections. And we are still awaiting to see if any have been prosecuted, successful prosecutions on this particular process. With the information that we have at this stage, we have not as yet seen that. We are aware of arguments that were made by the Department of Justice during the HIV/AIDS conference, where they were highlighting some sort of statistics. We are still waiting for that specific statistics so that we can then look into some of those issues. But like the chairperson indicated, at the CGE they are running two investigations currently. One investigation is based on the complaints that we received from SWEC, Women's Law Center, helping some of the sex workers that have to lodge their complaints to ask the commission. And then when we had done our own process with the commission, I think we, our commission paper on the track has been circulated. And we then had a specific position that we had put forward. And then we had the idea as well of getting some public hearing, more now talking to the issue of South African law reform and seeing how we can engage them to then ensure that we have reform in this particular process. So we have that two-pronged process where we have specific complaints that are coming from the Federal Capital Health, and then we are having our own investigation broadly into a legislative framework. And the CGE, the investigation that we are currently doing is looking at abuse that has been suffered by Federal Health in the hands of the SAPS. And then obviously we are also looking into how we can change the legislative framework. The investigation on abuse is almost completed. And the preliminary findings that are coming out quite clear is that it is very difficult for law to prove in order to deal with issues that are highlighted in Section 20 and Section 11 as I indicated previously. And what we now have is we're seeing SAPS many times utilizing municipal bylaws that relate to either nuisance or relate to loitering in order to detain females that are affected to be sent as they apprehend them on the street. So that is basically what we are finding with the conclusion, the almost completed investigation that was related directly to the abuse. And that during this particular extension on the basis of nuisance or rapery, this is when then sex workers suffer some sort of abuse one way or the other. The cases that we are looking at are cases that are here in Cape Town and in the Northwest and also in Gauteng. We then, I then want to just move a little bit but talk to our position as the CGE. And one of the things that we have to talk to when we then look at our own position is the perspective on sex work and prostitution. And by the way, for the CGE to come with their position, the process that we held, we had a consultative dialogue in 2012 where we had quite a number of institutions for fashion included and some of the civil society organizations and some of the people from legal fraternity as well, where we were looking into various people giving us and their own perspective around some of these issues. And out of that process, together with the research that we had undertaken, that's how we then came to the position, formal position as an institution to push for decriminalization. First, like, as we were engaged with various people, we understood that it's a better word to be used because it's a non-stigmatizing term. Sex work and sex worker are concepts that are coined by sex workers themselves to redefine the mission of sex as an income, a generating activity or form of employment. It indicates agency, the right to self-determination and allows for women's decision-making power in a capitalist and patriarchal system. Prostitution is viewed as coerced sex work, where women have no choice in the matter, and it is necessarily demeaning women are considered victims. These views have been influenced by liberal and radical feminist thinking on issues of prostitution. Liberal feminists prefer law reform that would lead to regulation of sex work, things like registration, mandatory health checks, etc. Whilst radical feminists use sex work as an institution of male supremacy and an act of gender-based violence in and of itself, would prefer different solutions for sex work, and such as criminalizing buyers of sexual business. The thinking and such a state response would fail such workers in securing the protection of their basic constitutional rights and eliminating abuse. Criminalization, we are looking now at international, some of the international responses that we looked into, whether criminalization and what we had here in South Africa and the USA and in the Middle East, is a proposition that deems sex work illegal. It seeks to reduce or eliminate the sex industry, and is supported by those opposed to sex work on religious, moral, or feminist grounds. Sex work and its associated activities result in contravention of legislation and prosecution by the state, and so this is also a prohibition process. A modified response is that of abolish missionism. Jurisdictions within this framework, when you look at what UK and Canada is doing currently, allow the sale of sex, but then all related activities such as soliciting, leading of the aiming for sex work, brothel keeping and procurement. This effectively, if you look at it, is really, in the end, still criminalizes sex work in practice. In Sweden, the first country to implement a partial shipping by criminalizing violence of sex work, regarding sex work as a form of sexual abuse and an act of violence against women. Proponents of this legal system hope that by targeting the demand side of the sex industry, they may reduce it altogether or eliminate it altogether. So that, as far as we look at the various things that have been happening under criminalization. When you look into legalization or regulation refers to jurisdictions which are primarily what we see in Europe, in many Australian states, where such right is legal under certain conditions and the specific constraints that they put there. Such right is controlled by government. The such control is necessary to protect public order and health through licensing, registration, and mandatory health checks. It is also perceived as a means of reducing crime associated with such right issues, things like organized crime, police corruption, child sex right, and sex trafficking. Seeking status of legal licenses entails a system of sex right specific controls and conditions specified by the state. And when we look at decriminalization and what is all the talks to decriminalization or non-criminalization advocates, the repeal of all laws against sex rights and the removal of provisions that criminalize all aspects of sex rights, clear distinction between women's rights sex and that involving sex or collision or child sex rights, which should still remain criminalized. So it shows that there should still be that particular distinction. Sex rights recognized as the legitimate business, regulated under conventional employment and health regulations, with such workers enjoying same rights and responsibilities as other workers. Typically, results in a shift in power and emphasis away from the state and clients to sex workers themselves, respecting their human rights and improving their health, safety, and working conditions. It removes social exclusion, rendering sex workers vulnerable to exploitation. Proponents of decriminalization in countries like New Zealand argue that the cost of keeping the sex work illegal at this stage outweighs the gain, but regulation constitutes violation of civil liberties at this stage, and that sex work should be seen as consenting behavior between two adults. So, constitutional impact side of South African constitution is concerned. The current legal regime, as we've highlighted, of criminalizing sex work is really difficult to implement and enforce. We are yet to see that being done. And it has not resulted in the reduction of levels of sex work or violence against sex workers. Criminalization harms the interests of sex workers by denying them their human enjoyment of legal rights. It affects their constitutional rights. It prevents access to legal protection at this stage. It has led to harassment and abuse of sex workers at the hands of the police. Current laws and alternative models that we have violate Section 10 of the Constitution that promotes human dignity and highlights that everyone has an inherent right to dignity and the right to have their dignity respected. Section 12, freedom and security of the person, is also currently affected. And everyone has the right to bodily, psychological integrity, which includes the right to security, in and control over their body. And when you get Section 22, freedom of trade, occupation and profession, every citizen has the right to choose their trade, occupation and profession free. So on the basis of what I have highlighted, Chair and honourable members, the CGE's commission, which is fully coordinated on the nursing and other investigators, and critical support for full decriminalization of sex work. This is informed by an analysis of constitutionally protected human rights and international legal obligations, which should be afforded to sex workers. The CGE cannot countenance a denial and abuse of rights of sex workers. Further, supported by state research findings in New Zealand and also some of the statements in Australia revealing some positive impact of decriminalization of sex rights and refuting some of the commonly held perceptions that we have in terms of other positions. Decriminalization has not resulted in increased number of sex workers, and fears of increase in human trafficking and child sex work are proving to be unfounded. Instead, it has empowered sex workers to empower sex workers to protect themselves against violence, improve the relationship between sex workers and police, and have no impact on levels of demand for sex work as it is. the impact of decriminalization from our own perspective, it will actually help deliver on sexual and free choice of work, forms of unions and challenges around unsafe conditions, freedom from discrimination, which is a biggest issue, and the biggest issue as well, high and attainable standards of health, freedom and dignity to happen, as I have already alluded. As far as partial criminalization or criminalizing the buyer is concerned, what we call the Swedish model, it also reveals that there hasn't really been a reduction in sex work and trafficking, and it does not deter the buyers either. And it has resulted in a few instances of prohibition of crime and impacted negatively on sex workers. So when you look at that as well, we still feel that any partial that could also lead to partial criminalization is not going to be workable. We also looked at what would be the policy implications for this particular person. Law enforcement policy would need to focus greater attention on the safe, security and protection of sex work. This would actually entail the shifting the resources that are currently utilizing into perhaps police resources and capacity from policing is what they are currently doing now, harassment and prohibition of sex work, but use those towards more protection, respect and enforcement of rights of sex workers. Police makers would need to allocate resources for training and capacity building within the law enforcement agencies to bring about the mindset shift in order to ensure greater awareness and protection of the rights and safety of sex workers. Policy makers will have to consider educational awareness campaigns and dissemination of relevant information to sex work industry in general and sex workers in particular regarding any changes to the current sex work laws and to ensure greater knowledge and awareness of the rights and the responsibilities that we have around there. Effective dissemination of relevant information on a range of vital services for sex workers such as healthcare services, legal services and other related support services should be part of the comprehensive sex work law reform package. A comprehensive review of current labor rights and laws and employment legislation will be necessary to ensure that the rights of sex workers are incorporated in enforcement policies and practices by state agency, employer and worker organizations. A thorough review of current labor bargaining mechanisms and practices might also be needs to be undertaken as part of law reform process to ensure that sex workers enjoy the same rights of access to labor bargaining practices, etc. in the labor market. Policymakers need to implement mechanisms to monitor the behavior of police towards sex workers, ensuring adequate powers of investigation and prosecution against police corruption and harassment of sex workers. The focus of policy should be on effective monitoring, investigation, and response by law enforcement agencies to protect minors, eliminate and prohibit instances of underage and rape, sex, work, and trafficking of women and children and exploitation and abuse of workers. Finally, it's critically important for damages, partnerships with the strong of the institutions like ourselves, the civil society, to initiate broad public awareness campaigns, to educate and sensitize society about the necessary sex work law reforms and associated policy changes. This would be more crucial in order to address and transform widespread hostilities and some of the social attitudes as well as sex work and sex work So, in conclusion, multiple and consistent resolutions on sex work in South Africa tend to derail the development of a comprehensive approach and strategy towards ensuring that we work to really a proper legislative framework that takes some of the issues that we have talked about. Issues of exploitation, morality, agency, and choice are at the core some of the differences that are articulated as the chair indicated in his opening remarks. Point of departure should be the experience and human rights of sex workers. That's the main important thing. who should be at the forefront of transformation in church work and realization of that such research. International and constitutional framework regarding the rights of church workers and comprehensive studies on the impact of international approaches and best practice reform the CDE's and call for the decriminalization of church work as the only viable approach to ensuring that we protect and promote the right and dignity of church workers. And Chair, as the Chair highlighted, we are aware that the South African Law Reform Commission is currently in the process of investigating various legal options, and that it is critical that we sort of get that investigation report and get it to be released into public fraternity to make sure that all the interested stakeholders are able to then engage on that particular paper. So as we have highlighted, our call is also seen in terms of the second project that we are undertaking. We really have that call, that support, against law reform on this particular work. We feel that decriminalization will deliver sex workers constitutional and human rights to freedom and security of the person, which will include the right to be free from arbitrary arrest and detention, the right to be free from violence, and the right to bodily and political integrity. And that page.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. Ms. Naima. I don't see us partaking in what we have in front of us. Now, allow to have your snack as you sit here. there you are, the Committee on Gender Equality is given us information at least they have related to the concerns that they have and also mentioned what we are trying to do in South Africa for the buyers and buying and selling of sex. I think we have moved from where we were. If you know where, well, at least people seem to be serious about the concern that we have. I am going to allow questions of clarity and also have answers from the CTE after the questions have been raised. I'm going to allow people to participate. Just before that, I have to acknowledge the presence of the Women Legal Center. You are also allowed to participate because I heard from the secretary that you indicated that you are keen to come and participate and also to come and listen to this. Thanks for your attendance. We all do allow the public to come and attend when it's possible for them to come. I'm going to allow for the questions then of clarity, and then we are going to have answers after this. Honorable So is a member of this caucus committee. She is also a member of the Women's Committee in Parliament. And she is a chairperson of the ANC Women's League in Housing. She's everything.
Thank you very much. Firstly, I must say the gender commission to talk about the wiki commission, because the air conditioning was so much. I was actually thinking, I mean, I was joking, it's not good enough to take the air conditioning, they must be going to be at this. The second thing I also want to raise on the presentation was that they should open up their presentation in terms of inequalities that are expressed the way these women are treated generally. But in their report, there's nothing about inequality. They're not opening up. That women are not only discriminated in terms of the law, they're also treated as unequal as human beings. That we must open up more on those arguments. And then the other thing that I wanted them to expand on was the issue of business. If we allow such workers to open businesses, it should not be made that opens those businesses. It should be these women themselves, if we are involved in them. So it should not be just an open thing that they should open businesses and they will be exploited by people. So if we must be very clear, what is it that we want? We should not open it, because we're going to come at the later stage and say, let's close gaps on this one, when we had an opportunity to close the gaps, we did not do so. Thank you very much. If we can just highlight on those issues. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for the presentation. I just want to check on the issue of factor when we can share that in the public awareness. Because we're looking at this diagnostic that we can say this condition is in. Now, as I said, I'm very aware of politics, society, and society organization. And I have a concern if we also have dialogue with people in the head, because they are also head adults that are also looking at the PLMX and Israel. What should be done to see that people of head is also involved in this dialogue, so that also they can be able to have a head send us to check the other ones forward to prevent also. Secondly, on this thing, and on the issue of the public conditions, noting that the public are really accused of abusing sexuality. To check that, we also check, because we have, in Jakarta, we not yet got the single police code. Now, I think about the bylaws of the municipality, but also the police on the other side. And also engage them on each other, on which organizations to keep this to point in which on each stage.
I would encourage everyone who would like to speak to introduce themselves, because I don't have the profile of everyone here, except the one, Kake.
My name is Kake.
Thank you. Honorable Tulan.
My name is Tulan. I'm a member of the Men's League and I'm a member of the everyone needs to say that I'm professional developer, especially in the city with children and youth. So, when the students were presenting, I think I need to sit here that one year, especially the ones with children. But before I start, one needs to say that I think children is a very important stage today, because we have that. This is all. So I want to answer the question of the presentation of the and taking the FTP and also balance is another chip on top for us to see. Yeah, hi, on the testing age 8 years, which is the age of my daughter, she don't see the given person if she is free that. I will love to see the gender equality to have the meeting social development on the awareness on this issue. Because of the social development, you will be the amazing the children. So I'm worried on what we have amended and what is coming. Because we consider 8 years, while on the proposal from other organizations, we think that we must have the age of 18, maybe pushing it to the age of 21, taking for those who can't take care of themselves. The issue of self-capacity must not only share the one that we do on the external. Let us think about the ones who are institutionalized. Why are we thinking about it? Because when we talk about freedom of choice, a child today can say, my choice is to say, if I did it, I want to be a self-care. So do you have anything on the table to ask for one? And when we talk about a person that is 18 years, most of them are not matured, and the mother, my daughter is 18 years, is not matured. If you are opening it, and like we are saying that, it's not a sexual form of the profession, I am not in my marriage. But it doesn't ask those who are to go to the profession in terms of the awareness. And this is not only going to only one department, but it needs all the systems department, including Department of Justice, to come on board. My second one is on the issue of when we decide what is a worker. A worker is a person that is working and making money at the end of the day. It's a means of production, a thing that has no problem with the image. But in South Africa, when we say that the worker is a legislation that is covered, you are hated as a consultant as part of this. Or it's a center of consultant, so it's not new to me. But the commission checked the issue of sexual discrimination because when the thing is going to be realized, when we go to conclude today that she's a new teacher for the legislation of women, it will become a mistake of sexual discrimination. Whichever you have it in your mind, because in your presentation you said they have the right to join the union of their choice, which is right to open, we will come to contact. So, as a federation, so these are the things that we need to check. I will take what Honorable Chun said. For us, criminalization, we need to protect. You see, in South Africa, we talk about the issues of the provider. People will go and open a clinic. There are agencies that are there. And they will start to say that this is our people and this is how much I charge. If ever you check that, what is happening on there, so that as much as we decriminalize, we must check the issue of consumer license, it must not make the sex capacity one fault. And why we say thanks for the presentation is it's my first time attending the channel presentation meeting with an eye opener and one is the education change. On my side as a woman, I do support the decriminalization of sex workers. I'm from Germany. In commercial street at night, you will find women on the street from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning. And when you are worried, oh, I wonder, will some of them have a balance? What is happening? Do they know their names? But the one who wants to understand the age of maturity and how we said in our presentation, the studies have put them there. Since the children are not adopted, but I will take it because the chance of our children is to be married. One will say to them, it is the only father to them, it is the only. So how do you determine that maybe this one, she's 18, and again, the faculty that I used to work on a site, they were told that I understand who the buyer, who the seller. And who my faculty sitting outside, those three mobile subjects are women. That is our land from this stage. So maybe you need to be clear who is the buyer, educating me who is the buyer, who is the seller. And let's check on the issue. In the course of data, how many of the women are using gender? What are the reasons? So if you look outside the educated chain of people we wish to check, so that we protect both gender and people.
Thank you. That is the richness of this women's caucus. People come from all committees in Parliament, and that really assists us because we can deal with issues from social development, DCI, you know, some of the things that Honourable Tulani spoke about here. They belong to trade. And we are going far, I think. I don't know whether we have another hand. We've got other members. Even other people can ask questions. It's not restricted members only. Okay, that's fine. Can you respond to the question that came up? Yes. Before you come in, I'm told that there is tea outside. Those who like their tea.
Thank you, Chair. To the Honourable Members, I just wanted to show appreciate the discussion on the inequalities. Honourable Chair, we have the inequalities, but we have seen also how the work on the streets in homes and for many years is that notion that the vulnerability of labor, the cost of the colonization of a certain type, racism also plays into this. More black and African women and other LGBTI communities, you find them predominantly on the streets, and they are the ones who are picked up by the police. And by this I mean mostly our colored black women, men in our LGBTI community. We find them on the streets and they are picked up by the police. And these are the ones who are most vulnerable because they can't hide in secret places somewhere where there is a bottle that is anxious in the white women of the white community and carry their own issues of prostitution or sex work. And therefore we change that piece. And then the whole issue of things. There on the streets again, we find that predominantly males will be standing there watching the vulnerable section, working, doing their work and paying them an amount of money, and therefore it's something that we are mindful of. The police and Kosatu, I know that Kosatu Congress has a resolution on the police were discussing in themselves how to really treat the whole issue of prostitution. Because they are saying themselves, they do not have the criteria for picking up the women that, or every child that they find on the street. So they will pick them up for gender roles, or being a nuisance, or being on the street after 12. And sex workers themselves are doing their in the house, they hold it and say, they can attend to this child that sometimes police take their up and look at what they inside, if they find more than 3 condoms in the bag. They are
assuming that you are a trade worker and you are there, one of those and all those things. And for you, themselves, you consulting on the regulation, how they pick up a sexual workers on the street. And what regulation they do is that they go around, in, they put them up behind the fence, and they drive around, and then after an hour, go drop them again at that point. Because they have to change and they don't know what to do them for. And what usually happens, they are saying rogue police then take advantage of these people that are behind the van and they are doing their matches, they go and raise them, they give themselves sessions and leave our sexual possession. For us, the whole process of decriminalization for some of the difficult even to come up with which is called sexual. I think also I wanted to talk about the whole issue of the protection of children. Fully support them, you can see our statement that although we talk decriminalization, we are also talking about the specific issues of trafficking, and trafficking girls in the country, and the age and all those things, children. Because again, in the context of contrast, the police folk group were raising issues that sometimes they find younger or young transgender on the street. That doesn't mean that they have an IG. They can see this is a child, but this child is saying I'm 25. And saying I'm 25, but it's a young person. A young boy, a young transgender, female, they can see this person is a young person. The person is saying I'm okay. And I think for this picture, the current nature of the part of the information is that even if one is choosing, because I'm talking here about those who choose to work, well, sometimes the definition of work also covers what we're talking about today, decriminalization. But again, the quality of work is also covered here in this discussion. So those who are saying how we commission, see the quality of this work and how are we evaluating it, we know the centralized themselves can define all this on their own. This is what I'm saying. Their voice is important here, they are conceptualized and they are conventional too. Again, the information will be very clear. This is ancient power. That means we have ancient power in terms of our country. Domestic workers are also ancient power, but they are also part of the trade union. Sex workers also can have their own trade union, which is part of the ancient power that they do, and the unknown. And I think that's what I themselves also know. It is it can be a lonely job, which means precarious in nature. Because the negotiation can actually take well, you don't know the person can kill you or the person can be kind to you. And therefore that was also a kind of a precarious. That is why the language to be used as quite a vigorous thing. The government of health has been making some provisions. We know from the law of research that they have identified hotspots. There are areas that the government has known for sure. These are hotspots where the exchanges actually take place. And saying that because of inequality, they will only know where they find our most vulnerable of the sexual harm. The other sexual is taking place in brothels or in high-density areas. But the kind of work that the public health has been able to actually reach has been the hotspots. I know also where I use work. It's also part of what is called the hotspots and readiness. And then, but there are no gains in the first also, they are hotspots. And the government has been able to take there condoms. And I know that the trade unions have also been working with the USA to take the testing kits for our HIV and positive HIV and, sex workers to be able to regulate and to access treatment. But these are the things that we are saying in the Joint Commission. People can decriminalize sex work. Actually, our sex workers, women, male, our LGBTI community, can actually be in a better condition than what we are doing now. Because we are doing better sex and we are subjecting them and the conditions we have. To the use of natural workers, we know that what are going to keep in their work. I think that is what we're trying to highlight. As decriminalization, all the aspects that we are using will be able to be properly discussed and identified and put some protection on it. including the whole information on the community of them, so that people who make the church should know that this was it's very lovely, but also it's worth that they know church workers amongst themselves how solidarity costs of solidarity. Thank you.
That's I think Consar is very number of offices, but I think it is a project in business. I think know that issues that will affect any type of business around issues of funding, issues around competition and life. I think the issue of climate and we must show how the special climate affairs were visible during the HIV conflict in Turkey. And the issue of the relation. And it's important for all of us to revisit the conclusions of the Chinese conflict. And we could really see that now that the world is beginning to accept it, and one of the things that we could have threatened people to develop their own issues. I think we must draw a lot from the resolution of the issue. The issue of Paris separation. I don't think that the Commission can go to individual municipalities. In South Africa, we have a system where we need to quickly develop whether it's Section 75 or Section 76 law. But that law will be able to guide municipalities around issue processes. If we determine that's right, then that law will also assist municipalities to actually implement the law. So, and I think if we are very South African, the Department of Courts of Government and the Office of Justice and all of us will agree on the modus operandi of how municipalities are going to change their own environment in the sense. So also in the sense of the belief force to actually amend their own environment in the sense. And I don't think that the Senate Commission and the National Flags are going to go to all blood management thoughts and municipalities. And the question about municipalities as well is that I'm not trying to bring in another measure here, that sometimes see themselves some of the results of the initial and provincial government, and they think that they have implemented their own bylaws. And it's always important to always remind them about intergovernmental relations, cooperative government, and so on. So those are the things that I think that when we are going to have different measures, that will be able to change. And from their own ways of policing, their own ways of preventing the political issue. And I think it's important men to remember around the issue of bylaws, but I think when the Spanish change, most of the laws change nationally, especially in 1976, and the practice follow up in terms of the change how that was. So I'm not sure that I will show something and then we will hand over to you around the questions. I think that as I was looking at the Commission, to think deeper about some issues. But in actually, I think we have member with the actual issues of moral and ethics, and then the honourable member raised as well, which I don't think that, and the issues of nature as well, were slightly better invited. I know that people are best placed to get an assistance about the plight of the issue and some of the issues as well. And I think once our investigation is completed, we were offering the General Commission that once a preferred community or complainant will associate with the committee because we have shown interest in the measure. So we were able to see one of the issues that the investigation has taken. This was the honourable member who proposed most of the issues, but some of those issues are still in the investigation. We don't want to prematurely present those issues before we finalize our own investigation at the General Commission. So that's preventing the position and so on, but those issues were part of our investigation and it's going to be a large improvement. That's the new question that I've got. So our recommendation is to try to provide it to South Africa and to bring it to the Parliament of South Africa.
Thank you for your response there. CDE, before I can allow anyone, can I allow Joy Watson, who is our researcher in Parliament, to respond and explain some of the things as Parliament.
chairperson and constitute to thank the very good presentation. Some of the issues that you've been talking about within the corporate and international issues. What I thought would be interesting for members in the region to know, we heard in the presentation to engagements with the African Law Reform Commission project, it was nice to just open up some of the history of that engagement, how long that's been going on for, and also how you partner with other organizations, so to what extent is your position informed by the perspective of other organizations? Do you think you can handle that?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do you still have questions for Sidi? Okay. Thank you. Now we are going to go on with our program. We are going to call a briefing by, that is going to be done by Secretary Education and Advocacy Task Force, which is set on decriminalization of sex with Ms. N. Redeemer.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and every woman that you all women in Parliament and the committee and every woman in the room. My name is N. Redeemer. I am the head driver. First of all, I am a mother.
Excuse me. We forgot to ask you to come up here. Come and sit nearer this. We want to see how you walk. Are you fine now?
And with me from the other national friends, we're talking Kisland and FD, as well as Madam Zabadita, our director, Benjamin, and our economic manager, Isha Khan. We're not going to talk about what she does or who is she, I think we have the knowledge of that, but just briefly, we are an organization that advocates for the decriminalization of adult consensual sex work, not as child or children doing sex work. The story is the mother child or is the child of sex, which are both the sex workers which we got as our form of humanism in South Africa.
Sorry about that. We are trying to connect the presentation.
Okay. I would like to say that in the sense of the trend process for adult prostitution, which is 19 years, that the children in South Africa have been working for law reform around sex work itself. And if you look at it from 1997, I don't know, 2016, you will realize that it has been very stagnant. It takes a lot of years just to get from one stage to the next. The first step of the investigation, obviously, into adult prostitution. Which was the entitled sexual offenses by and against children. That's how that came about. It extended that scope. And then the investigation started to issue sexual crimes against adults, and the investigation was then named the sexual offenses. 1999, we had the first discussion paper, which was about Hurricane Boys, related to sexual offences and drug control offences. In 2001, the second document which addressed the process procedures, and it indicated that we had the documents which talked about the adult prostitution, and we had the fourth document which included pornography, which was in between 2001 and 2002. And then in 2002, we had the first petition paper that was released, and then in 2000, that was built from 2002. It took a very long time for government and government to actually get to disaster action in itself, but it only got released in 2009. And in between 2009 and 2014, Senate received submissions from different organizations, different researchers, members of the public, members or just even the public itself. And since then, nothing has actually materialized. Instead, we are still getting promises that are not really given to us. This year, I think we've gotten about 9 promises that we're going to have the Senate report. The problem with the Senate report coming out now, obviously, comes to a point of actually the submission outdated. It's been 19 years. Public perception has changed. There has been a lot of research done to show for itself. So even if the report does come out, it is now meaningless. It might actually mean that we have to start the process again, which is quite disturbing. If you actually go to the fact that we wanted to increase that point of nothing in 90 days, so we might actually be talking about another 20 years before we can actually come to the concrete resolutions and implementations that will clearly show what the public thinks and what research now says. And the other concern that we have is that this is not the first meeting that we've had in the Women's Caucus. It's not the first meeting we've had with members of Parliament. It is not the meeting, the first meeting we've had with research and academics. It is continuously. And I would like to actually come out of this meeting with clear direction and resolutions and recommendations and tasks that everyone will take you today. Let us not make this another take off the box of Women's Lab. So, under the current organizational changes, I'm just going to say a promise that we have. The first one being that with the police department, with the research done by Women's Liberator on 440 sex workers, we had 13 that were sexually abused. We had 71 that were physically assaulted. We had 162 that were verbally abused. You had 192 that were harassed by the police. And you had 264 of them actually stating that they had been abused in some form of human rights violation by the police. And for the only example of that country. When it comes to the leaders of the government,
I'm sorry that you have to, but you are breathing very well, I can hear you.
When it comes to the resources of government and the organization, we have a problem with we didn't arrest them, we took it to the bank. Actually, we have taken going about one hotspot when there is actually a real emergency somewhere, we're going to be dying, and then we'll say that we're going to have banks. So, the same bank will drive around, put pepper spray on sex workers in private parks, in everywhere of the body that they can actually do it, and take pictures to ridicule sex workers and the dignity of women before. And then they leave them, or they take them to self, but when they take them to self, they actually ignore the positions that we have. And they ask the people that are HIV positive who go to the cells without any their beef, which means that we do not have an adherence. People come out all the time out of the cells having defaulted. How are we going to reach the 1999 people? okay, this is general public. I think everyone will see the bad conditions of the house, the low phone calls, the low visits from family and friends, which is common. And then somebody talk about that we do not have statistics when it comes to the HIV prevalence of head service. Point of correction, we actually have the IPPX study, which has been recently released. And with that, we have internalizer. Out of 764 persons that were infected, we have 71.8% being positive. We have 28.2% negative. In Cape Town, where 657% were infected, we have 89.7% positive. We have 60.3% negative. And in Durban, we have out of 756 persons. We have 53.5% being positive, 46.5% being negative. But then we also have to look at, the threshold guidance among sex workers. So in income, with the same amount of sex workers that were rated at least one time or more is 50.9 in Johannesburg, which also has a prudence among the people that is higher than all the three provinces. So the question that everybody should be asking is this in any way a connection or link to the prevalence, the rates, and the sexual violences? Is it the view that we have such a high prevalence? And the answer for me would be yes. Because if you look at the negative sexual that come into the industry, and we say that they're more likely to be inside, we don't have a lot of women that are actually quite good because they would have gone to the rape by then. They would have gone to the extra care like any other woman because of the extra care. So, yes, we think that we are a problem. And we do acknowledge government and different institutions and matters for actually being impressed. But it's also another problem because of our migration and the fact that we do not have easy access to health facilities in Southern Africa. We only have one.
And it was okay for us, you know, with the that we actually put on people.
and then they felt that we could how are we doing that? How are we doing that when on the Wednesday Brian presented other dignitaries were actually commemorating the much lower than the women and so that's the thing that we have right? Meanwhile, another woman lay without any right, without any dignity. Okay, I'm just going to go through a few things that I'm personal as a first worker. For me, I get really offended when we're treating a woman like this and somebody says that a certain institution should speak on our behalf. We can speak for ourselves. We know what we want and to keep the liberation of the truth. The thing that we say, obviously, but let our voice be heard. This is what we want as women. And I want everybody to hear me knowing that we are not just marginalized or limited without a voice, because we have a voice. But anything that we want when we give this speech is for members of this committee to actually look at the resolution they had with the rounding last year, but not for the issue as a committee, to actually say that you support people in the relation of issues, and for members to actually go back to their parties and lobby for the people in the relation of issues, or they individually actually do go publicly saying that you support discrimination of sexual, because it happens a lot when you see the one that says, and a member of parliament will say that I'm in support of discrimination of sexual, but when it really comes down to the crunch, nobody wants to say it. Sex education organizations actually help formulate the position papers if people need to formulate the position papers. Somebody from FedEx, Olivia, we would like a report. We are at a point where we've had too much high applications of getting responders or even in sessions with the data of telling us why we're not getting it. So I want us to be comfortable with the timeline of actually when it's coming up so that we can start working on its results, recommendations, and conclusions and actually see where we're going with the whole journey on. Even with the judgment, you would actually realize that supporters of decriminalization of veterans is not just veterans themselves or just stakeholders and organizations. We have the whole union, the whole UN family supporting. We have Kotaku supporting and actually realizing that veterans can unionize and form a union of itself. We have Amnesty International. We have obviously the CGE. United, we have recently the health practitioners from Bangladesh have tried to give out their position and to say that people in other nations is the only way that we actually want to reach the target that we have set out in the country when it comes to HIV information. Starting itself with our city president sitting in respectful faces, the Senate body, you know, on the 11th of March, to release a national strategic plan for the service. We're very happy with that. Actually, our division president is in the treasury of work, back in other words. But we have a problem with the fact that, okay, we had programs, previously we have them right now, but how is this national strategic plan for the work of our people in relation, it was a critical. You give me everything. You give me honest. But I don't go out to the street. If I decide to stay on me, I'm dead. I'm healthy, I'm dead. You give me conduct. I go out to the street and call you officer of me. And decide that you put me to the food in the work anyway. They give me action. Okay, so he's going to demand a special paper. and even though it's due to the other public, because sometimes it goes to the police station and has to be reported. So, what you make it look better is useless. If you find that 10 triggers, it actually means that out of that 10, someone like a healthy person, somebody has an STID, and I'm getting it about 30% of the triggers to my back. When it comes to the young children that are doing this work, when we talk about young children doing this work, a great problem must be alive. We as the children standing on the street and meeting couples, do you feel that can be not important? And I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a children right now. 2 days back, you were kicked and put a break and put your hand and drove around with for 3 hours. And then throw it away and it's back and you have to find your way. And then from this one day, you realize that you have a children that you actually can see. Tell me yourself if you are going to actually go to the police station. No. Instead, we're staying with the knowledge of saying that there is somebody that is cheating me on the street, but you're not going to do anything about it because you are depending on yourself. We do not support child protection. And I think it's time that we verify and deconstruct trafficking and return. Trafficking is moving loads from one place to another, for the purpose of becoming labor, having clothes, or going into it. But people actually always will take the two. Sex workers is a way to choose to sell sex services in order to make a living. And trafficking and sex work is not the same thing. People are trafficked every day, but for different reasons. By the way, we talk about human trafficking, we never talk about human trafficking in combat. We never talk about human trafficking in prisons. We only concentrate on human trafficking through the sex industry. And there is not enough evidence of sex that is actually triggered if other people are including them to be trafficked in the US. And another thing that we on the Ministry of Public Service actually put down on the control that every time that a sex worker is a migrant is arrested, a lot of them are forced into saying that they can traffic so that they can get more. And most of the people who do not have documents are going to stay in the country would rather just sign the paper that the police have given them to say that they are forced to not sort of get traffic. But none of these papers ever get reported because of the ones that we have. Recently in Colorado, we do have two children that have been in police force since last year. One is from Zimbabwe. And when the rest of her colleagues tried to say that I've been forced, she did not. So she's still in the police force for today, taking on the road. Because she wanted, and she won't actually say that I've been trafficked. So let's go back to what Faith really wants, another question. What we really want to do for this, we want the committee to go back into these meetings again, and give us a permission, and we seek permission to do that. We want to formalize and get out to the public. We want community members to take a position and to be public as well. We want the committee on our behalf, on CGE's behalf, on women's relations behalf, on Justice's behalf, to ask for the relief, immediate relief of the Senate report. Thank you. with that, we're going to be sharing the platform with Gigi Corley. I'm going to put this off this year to tell you what they want. And we have mothers of children. We have mothers who do sex work and their children are sick and hard. I'm going to tell you why they want to be a sex worker. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Dima, for your presentation. We know that in French you've got a different category. We are going to allow each one of you, because that was quite a long presentation that you have done, Putin. We are going to allow people who are coming up from set to give us about 5 minutes presentation, so that we are on track as our program is designed. We are very sorry about how you feel about the 9 August celebration, because so many things happened on that day. But we should also consider that it is a public holiday. And this time it was the 50th of those men who marched to Pretoria, precisely going to fight for the women's rights. Even though at that time they couldn't speak out as sex workers, there were people who were doing this. And they were called other names. And you see, I'm 76 years old with him. And I think I've seen a lot, and I know a lot. That is the reason why you see us taking into consideration the issue of sex and sex workers. And what we have today, it came out of the resolutions of the round table of this parliament, because of the consent of women in this parliament. And in my opening remarks, I did indicate that this is not the first time for sex to come to parliament. And that alone, it gave us a consent that it should make for us. By the way, we are also a country that sits in the SADC Parliamentary Forum. And whatever we do as a country, it is also accountable to that forum. So we are doing what other countries are supposed to do. And also those who sit in PAC and those who sit in the AU. So, my darling, you mustn't be so emotional as if we are lost in South Africa. We are very much concerned. And you must also, don't forget that we are your mothers. Sinizele, you can be worse, and you cannot throw your child away. So, participate freely, and everything that is being said here, it is going to enrich our debates Usually we shall set down the legislature the day we go into the podium, because we are public representatives. What we do here in Parliament is what the public wants. Thank you. Who is going to give us a presentation? Are you ready? Start to come. You can introduce yourself.
moving
everything.
sorry. I want to ask from the people who are taking pictures, why have you switched your camera off? I didn't hear that one. That you don't, you need the ones that you don't like.
Sorry?
I am saying, are you leaving ones that you don't like?
No, he got what he needed from the lady there.
I am very concerned. I'm going to discuss with you after this. Okay, sir.
Sir, thank you very much. I just wanted to find out if all race groups, I'm speaking on all race groups, are you only speaking on African women? The treatment of the police, the work that you do in the streets, do you have other racial groups there? Can they speak also, or are you speaking on all of them?
Ubile sisathi kuthiwa uthethela zonke iintlanga zomthetha nje abekuni abantu abamhlophe nabebala nabantu abantsundu okanye uthethela abantu abantsundu
kuphela
bonke abantu
eninabo
eninabo nina
konkelabo wonke umntu
Has become stronger as
is a movement, to launch a movement, and that movement was launched through the Separate National Sister Revolution in both countries. The purpose of the movement in that time was to develop national solidarity among Christians and become more organized in response to the issues they would face with their working environment. To see the South Africa Western Christian support line as well, where Christian cultural and human rights and issue was exchange workers. As before came, we wanted to develop a national solidarity among Christians to reduce stigma associated with sex work, to challenge and change existing laws relating to sex work and fight for and defend the human rights of sex workers, and also to capacitate sex workers to speak and act on their own behalf as they need right now. And if you hear from Zuma, he said, we don't want anyone to represent us or talk on behalf of us. We can speak for ourselves. So the challenges which we are speaking with and which we want to talk with, those are the challenges of put on the table and discussion. And those questions are which experts have been facing and facing many difficulties, including harassment by police, abuse from clients, things committed and discriminated by committee members, experiencing problems with African services like social health services and police. To further us overcome these challenges through implementation of a number of programs as well. Our aim was more to empower sex workers to stand for themselves, to take back their humanity and still being part of the community by changing their being human rights defenders so that they can stand for themselves. They need to confront the police and ask them, why am I being arrested for? Can you just arrest me without having the power to ask? We put them on leadership and capacity building, advocate for decriminalization of sex work. They need to go in the parliament and say, this is what we want sex work to be decriminalized. This is our experience. This is what we're going through. Institutions looking through the development of certain training of provincial offices and judicial offices. So because that we found that we need to work on a national level as so we are in 9 provinces where we manage to be in contact with sex workers who have faced the same challenges and difficulties. And we manage to implement the shelter offices in 6 provinces with provincial coordinators and peer educators for all these years for sex workers. And in the other different 3 provinces out of 6, we haven't implemented any offices, but we do have to sort of members. Who are sex workers, and Sisonke employs only sex workers. So those, we go to those areas where we don't have the offices to do our activities so that we can also get involved. But we're looking forward to have our office in those 3 provinces like Afghanistan. On human rights, the best Sisonke managed to mobilize sex workers to speak out about the human rights abuses they experiences, contact human rights and support among sex workers, and give emotional support and express solidarity with sex workers who speak out to get more support. Talking more about the advocacy for decriminalization, we manage to support local efforts to meet with provincial leaders speaking confidentiality about the decriminalization. Participate in local organizations, sex providers or provincial structures representing sex workers, and promoting the health and human rights of sex workers and solving. Thank you, Michelle, for allowing me to share this in a very short time.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. I think I'm very much concerned about the issue that is coming up, that the effect is that there are people who are speaking on their behalf. Can our members explain? Can you explain, because I think it's the wrong context. Firstly, I think here in Parliament we have invited people who can explain our topic here, the decriminalization. And as a country, we have a chapter 9 institution that deals with issues of gender inequality, and hence we have invited them to come to give us the South African perspective on this. And they are not trying to keep on, you know, about taking the space of other people. They are talking of what they are responsible for and their findings in many areas. I don't expect us to have a dialogue on that. I'm trying to explain. I think we appreciate the fact that we have such here, and they are giving us their experiences, which are, you know, make everyone emotional. Some of the things we did not know, they are new to us. By so saying, I'm going to allow for questions of clarity and answers. Honorable Madam Hoshi.
For us to know what the definition is, so that we give
with the issues of the children, because then the children say that we should keep sharing. They have to change one another. They need to educate us who is the issues, because at the end of the day, we have social development and basically challenge. So I think on the chat, because all the speakers teach us about the resignation, move out of the Chinese season, and then emotional issues in a manner for Chinese children. So that's all that.
Honorable.
Yes. Thank you so much. Really, I'm more educated today. I really admire your colleagues. I think that was incredible. And because not any other person can raise their voice and talk about something that other people treat as something that is really, at least here, but thank you very much. For you just looking at this, it was such a healing exercise, and my friend, when she said that she goes to church, and also she, she's a sex worker, I think that is good. Because even the Bible says that you must about your sins, keep having your sins, that is so deep. I'm guilty myself. I think that's what incredible is. I really respect you for you coming Oji and come and talk about this. And I think, where is the self-determination, the right to self-determination? Why colleagues are arresting you? They are out of order. Because I'm exercising my right to self-determination. Why are they arresting me? And let me say, I think it will be proper. I don't think that it's only a social
development.
Social development, but I think this thing needs health, social development, and police, all, so that you can be able to come and talk about this. This is the future of our family system, so we cannot just leave this thing like that. I think that we
Honorable Kay.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for the position. And then, really, the discussion. And she understand how it is. Then, it came back to the choice of permission pregnancy. And why college decided to give such a permission pregnancy is through this process. This is a dish of dying or putting in a bushes, which is sometimes being done actually in first forever. So the government decided that there must be permission of permission pregnancy. So what to say is not exactly what happened when the government opened the road, some people understand why. Talk about what I say now. Some of us ask what I say, why I said to them. Change from what we truly are talking about. The effect of the choice of change of pregnancy is what we prevent loss of life. Now, you are Muslim, called leader, because of loss of life in this group, in this problem, because you are really
So what now in my family? We're talking about properties. Now, you have a look at you. Then to know the education is to know the essential
departments and other programs that I'm in charge. If I sit on the revenue.
before I have another hand, your concern, Honorable Sommer, the Maski Party remains caucus. Is a caucus of all the women in Parliament, including the opposition. And the scale committee has got members from opposition seats from their respective organizations. And I think all notices have been sent to everyone. We dealt with this when we spoke about our politics. You should be concerned because we have got so many people in Parliament and here it is. But then I think we are going to deal with this effectively when we go back to the caucus meetings. Honorable Sue.
Thank you very much. I can also appreciate the presentation done by Suez. And also to, I hope you're not going to be offended, but also to highlight that for us to get women rights, it took us 300 centuries in South Africa. 300. Mm-hmm. Women have been oppressed immediately after the Nigerian the matriarchal society. When matriarchal society took over, women were oppressed. Since then, we never had rights until 1994. And the rights that we got were not full rights. We're still fighting for maternity leave in the private sector. You know, maternity leave is one of the rights that we got in the 1980s. And that right was reversed around 1996-1997. And women still today don't get maternity. You know, there are people who are saying to us as family children, the issue of polygamy, the issue of there are many other issues that are dealt with women. Women don't have rights over them. So don't be angry with us not getting the right now for health workers. We will get there. Because we are also looking other people to help us to ensure that the rights of women like those are being given to them. So it's not only the right of health workers that we are getting right. There are many other rights. I was also talking about the health condition. In our working conditions, you come to work, you feel very ill every time you are blocked because of the aircon. It was a major, this was a very tough, very parliament. You walk on the pavement there, your shoe goes off every day in the pavement, and you have been complaining about it since 1994 we came here. So it's not something that we are the only ones who don't have. Our working conditions are not good. And the idea, we're still talking about it even today. So when it comes to women's rights, men, because you're taking some of their privileges, they will not give in easy. It's not an easy task for all of us as women. So when you raise your issue, it's not only your issue, there are many other issues that we're raising. So we really want at a time. So all of these rights will still be coming. We're trying to push as much as we can. But when we change offices, other people have been, they react a little bit and all that, and then there's a setback. So don't be angry. All of us have our own frustration. It's not only your frustration. But it's also healthy for women to come together and talk about their frustration so that you understand when we don't need some of the rights and then some, it's because there is a lot of frustration. And I didn't tell you about some of the things that we argue about here, programming. You know, the way they program our stage to the parliament, which does not suit us as women. So there are many other frustrations apart from the frustrations that communities have. But it is important that we all teach each other football so that you understand when we don't win other things can be done. The issue of people also protecting the rights that we have won, like the right of August 9, that when we celebrate August 9, we also say to people, defend yourself. You know, when we have won a right, I was telling my daughter that you need to fight for your maternity rights. She's a lawyer, but she doesn't have that maternity right in that right state. And I was saying, this right we fought for. But in the foundation, there are loopholes which the private sector has used against them as lawyers. You understand what I'm saying? So, the right, where you're supposed to defend the right, where you are, and I'll say to her, you are supposed to fight for your own rights. I can't come from parliament and fight for your rights. We have a tendency, when we have rights that we want other people to come fight for the rights of others, which I don't understand how that we happen. And they will tell you, no, I can't do it, I'm alone. The right is there. It is there in black and white. All you have to do is to express that right. It's like when you are being called a helper, you know? You need to fight there and then and take that person up, you know? The right is there in person that you can be called that name. So what I'm saying to women is that all of us need to take each other on board and be patient with whatever that we're doing in parliament, because we're trying to push the laws, even against the laws that have been passed, to change them, to suit women, because most of the laws that are passed, they were passed in a hurry in 1994, and they did not check some of the loopholes that are there. There's a Domestic Violence Act, for instance. Women suffer with, they have the interdict, the first interdict, but they still die because of that interdict. It's not protecting them. So, what I'm saying here is that women need to be with each other. There are many frustrations that they encounter in this parliament. And you as an outsider, you need to give us a proposal to push some of the things. We will try and push them while we still in office. If I leave now and I don't have it in the next term, they will be, so don't be harsh with them, but be patient and try and push your issue through. With that, I want to thank you, Chair, and I hope you're not offended with what I've just said. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Tom. We also welcome the officials that have come to represent their ministers. I don't know why are you scared of looking at me? Well, looking down, and you know I mean you. Welcome. Before I go to the other item, I thought by now we'll be preparing for lunch, but so that we haste in everything, we are going to allow the South African Law Reform Commission, the new class, can you come to this? You know, I was a bit confused that we have a Johnny De Lange here and you have a Johannes De Lange. I thought it's Johnny De Lange. So now I've seen that it's another De Lange. Okay.
Thank you very much. My name is Johan de Lange. I've been previously confused with the former and all the discussion, but I'm not related to him. I think I'm not sure. I am from the Board of Justice on the Issue of Women from the Leadership of Development Chief Director, and as such, I'll be speaking to the very last slide in the presentation that Mr. Clark will be making to assist you. Mr. Clark is indeed the lead researcher. He's the lead researcher of the Law Commission. We held this sexual offences project by her chairman, and she will be dealing with the presentation too. Shortly.
Okay, thank you. going to be said very soon. Fine.
Policy options.
namely simple criminalization, partial criminalization, regulation, and non-criminalization, which is also referred to as decriminalization. Current legal framework, selling, buying, and related acts are criminal in terms of the Sexual Offences Act 1967 and criminal law Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act 2007. The court version criminalized the Constitution was changed in Ed versus Jordan in 2002. The law was found to be constitutional and also found not unfairly discriminated against women and is said not to infringe upon the right to privacy, freedom, and security and the right to economic activity. For this reason, government is not constitutionally obligated or bound to change the existing law or to follow a particular model. It is a policy choice, and there are a range of legal responses possible to address prostitution in open and democratic society. Currently, there is no strategy, national strategy, to assist people in prostitution or out of prostitution. In South Africa, prostitution is driven by a complex intersection of social and economic factors, with poverty, unemployment, and inequality are key drivers. It's really important for me to state that because context is really important. I think we all come into this debate with a particular point of view or our own experience. And I think this is the case with the legal framework is in the context that we have currently in the country. With regards to terminology, you'll see that our refer to the word prostitution or prostitute interchangeably with this word. The Law Reform Commission decided to retain the word prostitution as opposed to sex work on the outset for the reason that we did not want to anticipate a particular position in respect of law and policy. And also, I need to say that the use of term sex work has been popularized and acknowledged by some stakeholders, but others have said that not all people involved in prostitution identify with the designation sex worker. The generally accepted definition that is used with regard to prostitution is the exchange of any financial or other reward, favor, or compensation for the purpose of engaging in sexual acts. However, in the South African context, we need to just differentiate from what these terms are transactional relationships, and this is also addressed in the report. With regard to terminology, the report on sexual offences, although it has not been released, they also look at a choice, and whether the choice is at the point of entry, the entry or at the time of the provision of the service. We've unpacked a number of terms, and we've also looked at what the term sexual act is defined as, and what is considered to be work or decent work with regard to the International Labour Organization standards. With regard to the focus of the investigation, the debate centers largely around three main topics. Is prostitution work with applicable labor rights, or is it harmful and exploitative? Secondly, the impact the legislative framework has on the access to healthcare and concerns around HIV and gender-based violence. And thirdly, that it is arbitrary and exploitation. The investigation aims to address these and related issues, including, for example, the impact on tourism, illegal migration, and links to organized crime. The investigation gives an overview, both from South African and a comparative perspective, of the legislative and regulatory context of different models in other jurisdictions, and aspects relating to seller and buyer and third parties. Two considerations also given to the NDP and recent development. The report contains a review of the current position and a context with regard to legislative and regulation, including a discussion on different models used in different jurisdictions, and reflects on developments in the debate on adult prostitution, including an exposition of the CANAC NXT, the Cassandra Gender Conference, the ANC Gender Discussion Document, the Producer Policy and Revolution of Prostitution, and the National Sex Worker Symposium, both by the Sex Worker Education and Property Council, and the National AIDS Council of the Department of Health. In these documents, the focus is on addressing major developmental challenges, Many of these challenges are listed as reasons for entering prostitution. If I look at the NCSS and the NTP, the focus on employment undergirded by quality basic education and skilled and capable workforce. Job creation and skills development targets are crucial elements of the new growth plan, linked to the National Development Plan 2030. Essentially, we're looking at a country of opportunities driven by ability, education, and hard work, and not by birth. When we look at each chapter in the report which is to be released, you will see that it will be exploiting relevant research and savings provisions made by respondents to the questions posed to the discussion paper that was published by the Commission in 2009. Submissions in response to the discussion paper and questionnaires attributed to the workshop were received from a combined 1,761 individuals and organizations. These submissions were endorsed by a further 889 individual organizations, bringing the total number of submissions to 2,650. Each chapter contains an evaluation method and discussion of the research and submissions relevant to that chapter, and concludes with a recommendation by the Commission. I can assure you that the research contained in the report is remained current and not exactly for 2002. We've included the recent HSRC findings on the HIV and prevalence, as well as the CDE position paper. With regard to the following statement that we have, opinions on the legislative framework of HOLORUNNER, the views for decriminalization and the retention of criminalization, all yet from different perspectives. Currently in South Africa, in our context, we have unique societal challenges with regard to population and geographical specificity, with regard to, for example, our forest borders. If you want to compare our population of 50 plus million, we have 1.5 million illegal immigrants. New Zealand, on the other hand, has a population of 4.1 million people, and no visible recording of illegal immigrants. Our borders are porous and not so in New Zealand, so we need to look at our country in context. Our context is also complicated by global economic downturn, high levels of unemployment, poverty, migrancy and illegal foreign job seekers, high levels of violence, particularly sexual violence against women. We are still in a patriarchal society. We are faced with an HIV/AIDS pandemic, drug and substance abuse, trafficking, targeted exploitation of women in prostitution by third parties, unethical authorities and violence by violence. It might be of interest to note that statistics would show us that only 10% of men internationally purchase sexual services. But the recent Medical Research Council paper shows that this group of men are highly violent and also prone to be involved in other illegal activities. When one then looks at harm and exploitation internationally, the harm and exploitation of prostitution is being increasingly recognized with a number of countries introducing new measures to move away from legalizing and decriminalizing. Examples are given here are the Netherlands, Germany, Sweden, France, Canada, Israel, the UK, and India. There seems to be a clawback due to this recognition of harm and exploitation. If one looks at, for example, in India, which is a criminalized state, the case would have been promised probably in the state of West Bengal, but now recently it's mentioned in their high court that the Social Welfare Board to stop their rehabilitation programs to ensure the protection of the right to dignity under Section 21 of their constitution, and also that professional training to earn a livelihood should be provided. It is of interest that the sick worker plan recently released by the Department of Health is based on an Indian system which is seen as best practice. That the director has made the Solidarity Project in India. In regards to Netherlands, for example, they are trying to buy back windows because of the high levels of women, foreign women, being packaged into the Netherlands. In Germany, the German Constitution Act has noted that there is no improved condition in the lives of women involved in prostitution. There is no reduction in crime, and it's also been found not to be a reasonable means for securing a livelihood. In the matter of Gateway to the British Canada, they have recently issued in 2014 an act called Protection of Communities and Exploitation of Persons Act. And the Parliament has found that there are growing concerns about exploitation which is inherent in the prostitution and the link to violence. We came to the discussion of alternatives, and although I can't share with you what's in the report that is not yet in the list, I can speak to some of the alternatives that have been raised in the report. I must say that the reason that the fact that the Commission actually looked at different models doesn't excuse other models that haven't been proposed during the workshop phase. So the outcome is likely to lead to the discussion of the alternatives. The Local Commission has found that prostitution in South Africa is driven by context, interplay of social and economic factors, among which poverty, inequality, and unemployment are key drivers. Exploitation, particularly of women, is inherent in prostitution and flows from the culture of gender violence, inequality, and poverty, and not merely in response to the legislative framework. The Commission has been concerned that changing the legislative framework could create an extremely dangerous cultural shift, juxtaposed against the high rate of sexual crimes already committed against women, rendering them even more expendable than at present. Comparatively, violence continues unabated. Non-criminalization does not mean to excise prostitution from other illegal activities. It continues to be shaped by the same social and economic factors that concentrate crime in areas shaped by poverty, inequality, and unemployment. And the reason to show it's both Australia and the evidence which backs it up. When one looks at the models, there are a variety of models that one can look at. As I said, it is essentially a policy option for government, policy choice for government. The other option is possible retention of a comprehensive criminalization model as a divergent option. The research indicates that divergence improves the lives of those willing to exit and provides opportunities for new and different choices. This is also being included in the formal economy as per the National Development Plan and as seeking assistance from the Department of Social Development. Cost savings would also be in line for criminal justice system, health and human services systems. It has the potential of addressing the root cause of engaging in prostitution. It reduces repetitive arrests and also seeks to meet the obligations under the CEO. Because the contract violence against it meets the obligations under the CEO, is what the research says. It also says that there's a combating of violence against women and exploitation by women or by third parties. It criminalizes demand. Criminalizes demand will not be prostitution but aimed at significant reduction. And the target of demand drives the selling of sexual services and provision of unsafe sex. I think with regard to this model, which has become quite clear, is that there's no way that one would eradicate prostitution, and that's not the aim of any of the models that we've come across. But it would seem that with this model, it would look towards a reduction. When one looks at partial decriminalization, and it's a different model of partial decriminalization, the one in the UK, for example, is where you have the woman and the man, engaging in sexual services for abroad, and they are not criminalized, but all the activities around them are criminalized. And you get the partial decriminalized system that you find in Sweden and a lot of the Nordic countries, and what is actually finding quite much traction in Europe at this moment is the Nordic system, where you only have the buyer and all other parties around the person selling the sexual services being criminalized. The person itself is not criminalized. And this is used under the use of the word women are referred to a person involved in prostitution, coming to excuse anyone else. We are aware of the broad spectrum. We have 800 male persons selling sexual services in the CED around Pretoria, for example, and there's quite an intensive study on that. But in our report, we talk about terminology, and I believe the majority of people say that it's a problem. With that aside, we bring back to partial decriminalization. It's said that this may reduce free prostitution, but that the partial criminalisation or Nordic model of non-criminalising the prostitution is criticised by the PGE for the following reasons. It increases vulnerability due to significant irradiation, which reduces bargaining power. To protect clients, people who sell sexual services use their public areas and are a bit more violent. There's greater competition due to increasing numbers and declining prices. There's increasing stigma, which is reduction in crime usage. And to add to that, the Global Commission on HIV and Law announced the Nordic model in 2012. However, I need to also say that the leading Swiss researcher in the field, Mark Goldman, responds to the argument. And the researcher who tabled them in Sweden has withdrawn these findings. The study that the person used, Nordman, only, I think, affects about 10 people in the study. And that one has actually been removed.
So what we need to interrogate is consideration. When one comes to regulation and non-criminalization laws, one needs to also consider that there may be a negative impact on tourism and sex tourism, as South Africa might be seeing the sex tourism destination. It may affect the branding and brand value of South Africa, and it may be unintended and serious long-term economic consequences, which is something that we raised on the Minister of Tourism. Another concern is the increase in stigma and discrimination. It makes them more vulnerable as they are sacrificed and limited to be recognized as legal prostitutes. What is important here is the HIV stigma index brought out by the AHR Treaty, where the biggest problem is actually internalized stigma and not wanting to be outed. Another concern that is raised is that this may not be a safe choice for poor women, for vulnerable women. It may create a desperate, expendable throwaway market women. In Germany, for example, prostitution is not seen as a viable livelihood and not work as any other. Another concern is the increase in child prostitution. We've seen a preference in recent studies for younger children, and it cannot simply be compartmentalized between child and adult prostitution. In the CCD report, for example, I met a young girl in grade 1 who had been killed by her mother because the 31 was not interested in her anymore. It is very concerning, and it's something that is raised by Molly Comololo and a number of organizations dealing with child prostitution in South Africa. When they just start at the age of 18 or 21 and it's proposed, it usually is an introduction from a much younger age. Another concern is the increase in legal and illegal migration with sex trafficking, and that supply will increase. It is a national trafficking policy, and they have reported a number of concerns regarding the sale of sex and trafficking in South Africa, across the borders and internally. There may also be a direct dual system of illegal and legal prostitution, which would mean that you, the person doesn't meet the criteria for being in the legal sector, you still be having to deal with the illegal sector. And in terms of there seem to be human rights violations, which are used to actually dealing in the sale of sex, and not the framework alone. As I did make reference to the Medical Research Council's study on highly abusive clientele. In the South African context, it's important to note that if the debatable whether legalizing will address the power imbalance or reduce the demand for unsafe or high-risk sex, it may even normalize the old coercion and the extended treatment. It is a given that it will further increase demand locally and internationally. The decriminalization proponent acknowledges such an increase, and we aim to provide assistance for a label perspective as we encourage. Criminalizing demand will not end prostitution, but it aimed at a significant reduction and could target the demand which drives selling of sexual services and provision of unsafe sex. The things in the non-legislative recommendations are non-legislative remedial actions and not dependent on law reform. Now, the Commission has noted that the prevalence of prostitution in our society and the inherent exploitation associated with it is primarily a social phenomenon, and legal mechanisms to address this social phenomenon are limited and reactive in nature, but nonetheless necessary. For this reason, the Law Reform Commission has, with regard to the Sexual Offence Act in 2010, made legislative and non-legislative recommendations, and that will be done in this case as well. So irrespective of the policy choice chosen, the Commission thinks that there should be a clear strategy for dealing with prostitution on a primary preventative level and on a secondary intervention level. There should be a national strategy to exit prostitution. There should be skills development programs to enable greater exit, as per the NPSS and the NPC and GDP. With regard to transnational relationships and the growing social phenomenon, this should be further investigated from a social and event-based violence intervention perspective. Research shows that prostitution is often accompanied by crime, which includes money laundering, drug trafficking, training guns, and violence against women. South Africa needs to ensure that we have in place a coherent legal framework to deal with this. With regard to non-legislative recommendations, which I say are not dependent on legislative reform at this point in time, the Law Reform Commission has come across the Women's Legal Centre and Swiss Report, Ethics Worker and Human Rights Defender, and they contain a number of useful non-legislative recommendations. But you see, the CDE and ARP should investigate human rights violations, which I believe they are already doing. They're tracking the efforts to investigate reports of violence and unlawful conduct for officers. I took on Saturday Technical Task Team and at a meeting, our Deputy Minister of Justice has invited the organisation to bring forward names of officers who are involved in these unlawful activities. Further, they're tasked to establish guidelines for police conduct when dealing with prosecution and issuing instructions, that there should be administrative mechanisms for monitoring and responding to reports of violence and unlawful conduct, and that these should be addressed to help minimise such occurrences, to enable effective responses and to ensure that complaints are protected from further victimisation. Further, that they should detect and direct discriminatory behaviour of healthcare workers by means of internal complaint mechanisms or equality legislation. There should be an implementation of the standard industry objectives, which will improve the youth access and uptake of health services. There should be guidelines for health workers on interacting with vulnerable groups. Substance abuse in the context of prostitution deserves further attention and intervention. There should be professionalisation by facts and development of good practices. The Department of Social Development should be mandated to engage prostitutes on issues of social security and poverty alleviation, including reskilling and alternative income generating projects. Specific to the consultation by the FARC, and just to sketch what we have done, although, you know, as I said, you have no time for that, I just want to debunk some of that and just record what we have on the table. We have an issue paper and a discussion paper which will be published and workshopped. The discussion paper, consultation phase, we had 8 formal workshops that were on the urban and rural venues. We had numerous focus group meetings with stakeholders, including facilitated workshops with our prostitutes in different areas. And thank you to SWIFT for also engaging with us with regard to that and facilitating that. As I said before, we have submissions received from combined 1,761 individuals and organisations, endorsed by a further 889 individuals and organisations, bringing the total to 2,650. So I would say we have consulted widely, both nationally and internationally.
Thank you, Jim. Just on the line, on the last slide, to briefly explain the way forward. The next step would be published release of the report. I cannot speak on the matter at all. I cannot speak on behalf of my principals. I've been informed this morning that in 30 minutes it will happen very shortly. I think we might understand that we wondered why it took this long for this executive to come back to release of the report. I think even the care wants to say that we were also that on the wish. The recommendations are not quite what we expected. Necessitated some interdepartmental coordination, some further research on some of the options provided by the research and non-research, and give us some time to do some preparatory work. But obviously, in theory, once the report is released, I think it will be an intense debate, which we will take cognizance of. But inevitably, there will be action taken. There is legislation that emanates from the report, apart from administrative actions that will be taken. And then we will prepare a full piece and submit that to the cabinet for approval, which will then be published once again for public comment. The question at the stage would be what exactly that will be. By following the public consultation process, the bill will be aligned, resubmitted to cabinet, and all of this is targeted for next year, 2017, to introduce the necessary legislation on the department. Unfortunately, at this stage, it is a bit very speculative around exactly what the model will be, but I think the debate will grow in stronger on it.
Okay. I must indicate to you that I'm really baffled by the snake page of the lawmakers, including ourselves, because this has been a concern for quite some time now. Nevertheless, it's good that maybe we came to the response of other issues that were raised. Anyone for questions or comments? I need to going to come from first. Yes, sir.
My name is Shadi, I'm from Kuwait. I want to ask the first question of the Constitutional Court Commission. We are very glad to be able to ask questions because we have struggled to get answers on various processes. I would like to ask when the report was actually finalized. And I would like to ask when the report was sent to Department of Justice. The reason I'm asking when it was finalized is there seems to be some discrepancy in the issue, and we'd like you to clarify that. I'd also like to find out, for the commissioners who were involved in the investigation itself, were any of them, the commissioners involved in the actual investigation, involved in the finalization of the report before the change of the Department of Justice? I understand that there was a gap in the commission didn't actually have any leadership for quite some time. And so I'm interested to hear on those questions. I think there were a lot of assertions made in the presentation that we would like to respond to, but we don't have the time now. So for instance, one of the assertions of the conference of research that was sent in your presentation, we would dispute and we would like to introduce research that we can submit that which provide a little bit more recent evidence of peer-reviewed research. But we don't have it right now, and I'm hoping there will be more of an opportunity to engage in the context of what I'm sure there will be.
Thank you. I think let us do the process. I think this is the most progressive way I can see. We are losing energy. Can we engage in our alarm? And then we'll ask questions. Can we? It's supposed to be 1 hour. Let's make it 8 minutes. What is it? What is it? No, I know you are going to bring me. What are you going to do?
Thank you.